Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, thanks for tuning in to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Alan Weiss that provides exact strategies to eradicate the fears that hold us back. He's a consultant, speaker, and best-selling author of more than 64 books, described by the New York Post as one of the most highly regarded independent consultants in America. His newest book is Fearless Leadership, Overcoming Retinence, Procrastination, and the Voices of Doubt Inside Your Head. And Mr. Weiss, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Please call me Alan, and it's a pleasure to be here.
And I think we can handle that, Alan. Thanks for joining us here today. So tell us, for starters, what motivated you to write Fearless Leadership?
You know, for years and years, I helped consultants and entrepreneurs and professional services providers to move to value-based fees instead of hourly billing. And I thought that was a real issue. But then I realized the reason they weren't doing it sufficiently, and most of them were over-delivering and undercharging, was that their self-esteem was suffering. They didn't feel bold enough. They didn't feel valuable enough to charge more. And when I looked into that more closely, I felt it was because they had these fears, both overt and covert fears, that were holding them back. So that applies to people in corporate leadership as well as entrepreneurs. So I wrote Fearless Leadership.
Tell us, Alan, if you would, why should leaders and the business world take fear seriously?
You know, the world is getting more and more volatile, more and more disruptive, more and more ambiguous. You know, I call this the ambiguous zone that people have to go through often, because it's not very clear where the right paths are. You have to trust your judgment more and more. And people start to fear fear. You know, it's one thing to fear a tornado or someone with a gun or an earthquake. My father was a paratrooper in the Second World War, jumping into enemy guns. I mean, I can understand the fear there. But there's no fear walking into the office of a potential customer. There's no gun there. Nobody's going to shoot you. You can't walk out with less money than when you walked in. In the corporate world, there shouldn't be fear. No one's fired. 99% of the time, you're not fired precipitously. People make bad decisions or wrong decisions. But the fact is, if you're not failing, you're not trying in this world. So if fear is holding us back, it masks talent. Just like depression or guilt, fear masks talent, and we can't do as well as we might if we're in a fearful condition.
And that is for certain right there. Now, we tend to view fear as a hardwired human trait, but you stress that fear is learned. How so? Get into some of that.
When you're young, what is your mother says, don't go in the water until it's an hour after you've eaten, you know. And, of course, that was not true at all. You know, we'd stand there at 58 minutes and say, we have 2 minutes to go. Don't run with a sharp stick. You'll hit your eye, you'll poke your eye out. Don't talk to that kind of person. They're dangerous. Don't believe this. It's not true. And we start to develop this mythology, and we start to develop these fears. I worked in one of the major pharmaceutical companies in the world as a consultant, and the top lieutenants were all afraid to bring up new ideas and innovations to the CEO because they were afraid they'd be shot down. And so there was no great creativity going on. And when I sat in on some of these meetings and when I met with the CEO privately, who was a brilliant guy, I learned that he was very happy to hear new ideas. He just wanted a factual basis, and he poked questions at them to see if they were worth investing in. So what they feared was fear itself. There was no reason to fear the CEO, and this happens every day in our lives. And, it's like the kid who thinks there's a monster under the bed and refuses to go down there and take a look.
And a fantastic example right there. Now, how can you tell the difference between real fear and fear that's merely perceived?
Well, in the book, I talk about flight, fight, and fright. And normally it's fight or flight, but I added fright to it. And you tell the difference between real fear and invented fear by asking yourself quite pragmatically, what is the evidence in the environment or what is the observed behavior that tells me I should be fearful? And just because someone who doesn't look like you or appears like you sits next to you on an airplane doesn't mean that they're a terrorist. You should be afraid of them. On the other hand, if you see somebody trying to get through security with a gun, you should be afraid. And so you have to look for evidence in the environment. And, you know, while it's important, what do they say? If you see something, say something. It can lead to a certain kind of paranoia where we're afraid of everything around us. And you and I and your listeners have all heard people say in corporations, for example, oh, watch that watch that guy, watch that woman, they're out to get your job. Or entrepreneurs here, you know, don't go to someone after lunch, they're not as likely to buy. Or nobody's working for the holiday season, you know, so don't even bother to market. These are dopey fears, they're not born out in the environment.
Fantastic information so far today. We're visiting with Alan Weiss, the author of his newest book, Fearless Leadership, Overcoming Retinence, Procrastination, and the Voices of Doubt Inside Your Head, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, you often say you don't need to feel afraid to be afraid. How does fear manifest itself in such situations?
Fear manifests itself in interesting ways. For one thing, it limits your ability to respond intellectually. It limits your vocabulary, it limits your inflection, it limits your gesticulation, it makes you physically nervous. You'll see people's hands shake, or you'll see them, their knee go up and down under a table. They'll develop sort of a nervous tic sometimes. It also tightens your throat so you can't speak as well, and it makes you far, far less effective. The trouble is, of course, your audience or the other people in the meeting or people who are watching you don't understand, and they attribute that to poor performance on your part, and you appear much less effective than you normally would be.
Now, Alan, in your book, you talk about the three F's of paralyzed leadership. How do these play out?
Well, leadership is paralyzed, for one thing, because people tend to forget how they got there. In other words, you're in the position you're in because you've been successful, whether you're an entrepreneur or an executive, but they tend to forget that. I call it all evidence to the contrary. They ignore it. A second issue is they feel that they have to seek perfection, and seeking perfection kills excellence, so that if nothing's going to be done until it's perfect, believe me, nothing ever will be done. And the problem here, of course, is that you've never taken an airplane ride or a car ride or eaten a meal or gone to a performance that's been perfect, ever. So the seeking of perfection is just plain silly. The third is that people have a real innate fear of failing. And if you're not failing, you're not trying. And so failure comes with the game. There's nobody you can talk about, whether it's Thomas Alva Edison or Steve Jobs or Michael Jordan or Oprah Winfrey or whomever, Frank Sinatra, it doesn't matter what field they're in. They didn't get to the top of the pack by never failing. They got there by failing and learning from it.
Sticking with the Epps, fantastic details right there for sure. Thanks so much. Now, what's the relationship between fear and procrastination?
Great question. Procrastination is a manifestation of fear. So what happens is rather interesting. People who procrastinate don't get to something. They keep putting it off. But the reason is, not that they're lazy or sloppy or unintelligent. The reason is they have a greater fear of doing something that will be critiqued as not good than of not doing it at all and being critiqued for not doing it. So they'd rather be called a procrastinator than a failure. And so people don't get things done. I mean, imagine if Eisenhower on D-Day was a procrastinator. It was the last day he could launch this invasion of millions of people. The weather was not as clear as it could have been. He had to make a decision. And he couldn't really say, wait for tomorrow, or all would be lost and the secret would be out. And you can look through history at these kinds of decisions on a corporate basis as well. So procrastination is fear manifest in delay.
Now, again, speaking of procrastination, if you're a procrastinator, one tuning in may have that weakness. What steps can you take to regain control, and why are fear and perfectionism intertwined?
Well, what you can do is you have to say to yourself, if I indeed do this, if I clean out the garage, or if I complete the proposal, or if I get up there and perform, what's the worst thing that can happen? And what you find is no audience, for example, wants to see a failure. Audiences support a speaker. They support a performance. They don't want to say, I just wasted 2 hours of my time. They want to say that was great. So if you look at it, people are really with you, and there's reason for you to complete the task. Your spouse isn't going to come home and say, you didn't clean up the garage well enough. They're going to say, thanks for starting on the garage. So you have to ask yourself, what are the real natural upsides and downsides here? And there's seldom a downside, and there's usually an upside. The second thing is that, as you point out here, if you seek perfection, you will kill excellence, and you'll never finish writing the sentence or the paragraph or the book that you want to complete. You'll never speak up at a meeting in time, and by the time you feel you finally figured out what you want to say so that it's perfect, the conversation has moved on to something else. So procrastination is a killer of talent, and it's a killer of success.
That feedback right there ought to inspire quite a few folks tuning in today. Thanks for that. Now, you talk about the power of asking why. How does this put our fears into perspective?
You know, when my son was young, we went to an amusement park, and he wouldn't go in the funhouse. And I said to him, Jason, don't be afraid of the dark. And he said, I'm not afraid of the dark. I said, why won't you go in? He said, I'm afraid of what might be in the dark. It's a pretty clever answer. And I said, you see those people going in? He said, yeah. I said, okay, wait 10 minutes. I said, there they are coming out. Anything wrong with them? He said, well, no, they're smiling. I said, okay, what does that tell you? And so what we have to do is be very clear on empirical evidence. We have to be very clear on what's reasonable and what we see and what's observed behavior and so forth. And that's how we can get away from these fears that aren't real but still surround us. You know, I'll tell you something. When we have a fear or a concern or a grudge or anything like that, it's an image in our mind. It's a negative image. And a negative image can be dismissed. It's not real. It's not like there's somebody in front of you driving at you with a car. It's just an image, and you can dismiss an image. You have control over that. And you can choose to dismiss that image. That's within your control. Most people who are very fearful don't have control. They feel they have no control at all, and they're subject to whatever happens around them.
Now, Alan, looking at fearless leaders, what are the hallmarks of a fearless leader?
Well, I think there are several. And in no particular order, a fearless leader is not afraid to make decisions on the spot, trusting his or her judgment. And a fearless leader is not afraid to make tough decisions. You know, usually the toughest decision, in my experience, in 30 years of consulting in Fortune 1000 companies around the world, is leaders are afraid to fire people. They're afraid of repercussions. They're afraid of how they'll be seen. But usually you're doing that person a favor. Terminating someone who's not performing well is a favor to that person as well. And someone has to set that example and make the tough decisions. A third thing is that fearless leaders learn. They learn from what they've done well, so they replicate it. And they've learned from what they've failed at, so they don't repeat it. And fearless leaders are constantly learning from what's happened, which makes them more and more fearless in the future. Those people who don't learn just become more and more fearful because they can't attribute their success or failure to clear evidence of what's gone on.
Alan, some tremendous information shared here today. Really appreciate your time. Just a couple more questions before we wrap things up here. What are simple tips anyone can use to become more fearless?
I think anybody, entrepreneur or business professional, needs to stop and think for a few minutes and say, what is it that's causing me not to go forward with these decisions or with these plans or on this course? And is there a legitimate downside? In other words, I look at upside and downside. You could call it risk and reward. And usually, not all the time, but usually there's an upside, there's a positive, but there's no downside. There's no downside to going into a business meeting and offering to provide value in return for compensation to try to sell something. There's no downside. You might not get it, but there's no downside. But the upside is you might just get the business, but you don't get it if you don't ask. It's just like being in a ball game. You know, you're not going to get a hit at bat if you don't get up to bat. So you might strike out, but you might get a hit. So that's number one. And number two is you have to be in a position where your ego is strong enough so that you understand that critique is okay, that if somebody says to you, you didn't do that well or you could have done that better, you just listen to it and you decide whether the source is valid. Just because somebody critiques you doesn't mean they're right. And so you should accept critique from people you respect and ask, and you should not accept critique but that's unsolicited, because unsolicited critique is for the sender, and you can safely ignore that.
Good stuff right there, and again, some rich information shared here today, and can't thank you enough for joining us. As we conclude today, what do you hope readers will take away from your book? That is titled, once again, Fearless Leadership, Overcoming Rutinous Procrastination and the Voices of Doubt Inside Your Head.
Well, you know, I wrote the book brief. You know, it's about 120 pages. I wanted to stick with today's, you know, short attention span. And it's a quick read, but it has very valid and clear techniques. I hope readers take away the fact that they can control whether they're fearful or not. And as they move forward in their personal relationships, in their community relationships, in their business relationships, in their entrepreneurial relationships, they can reduce and eliminate and mitigate their fears so they become much more successful performers.
Certainly appreciate those concluding remarks. And if listeners wanted to get in touch with you or to pick up your book, Fearless Leadership, where's the best place online to get further details?
Best place online is my website, which is alanweiss.com. And so that's the best place to get background and to buy the book. It's also available, of course, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and every place traditionally you buy the book.
And that is certainly easy enough. Again, Mr. Weiss, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for the opportunity.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Our pleasure. We've been speaking with Mr. Alan Weiss, the author of his newest book called Fearless Leadership, Overcoming Retinence, Procrastination, and the Voices of Doubt Inside Your Head. And for further details, visit alanweiss.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.